This episode of The Huddle is brought to you by SeatGeek, our presenting sponsor and the absolute best way to get great tickets to any event. If you want to hit a game, a concert, anything, if Rusty holds a summer badminton camp, SeatGeek will get you in. Just download their app, look up the event, and you'll have access to every single ticket at the best possible price. They stand behind every ticket they sell, so you know that you're going to get in. It's absolutely guaranteed. And you don't have to worry about any hidden fees like you do with shady StubHub. What's more, right now SeatGeek is actually paying Huddle listeners to use their product. Now, in the past, I haven't done an excellent job of explaining how that process works, so let me do a better job of it now. What you do is download the app, hit the Me tab on the screen, and then enter promo code GSW, buy some great seats, and then SeatGeek will send you a $20 rebate back so that you're actually getting $20 off the price. SeatGeek. Great tickets, great prices, no BS.
Livingston at the far hash mark. Booker in front of him. Draymond Green, Thompson, Curry, and Barnes. Curry steps out, guarded by Hayward. Exchange to Klay Thompson. Open three, left side. Doesn't get it. Livingston to the board. Outside Klay, reloads another three. Got it! Klay Thompson, with 15 seconds to go, has tied the game at 89.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. And with me, as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
Scotty, we got screwed over by Rusty today.
We do not have Rusty here. last minute little flip-flop.
Yeah, it was what it was. Rusty's got a conflict, was unable to join us, so we're back to the two-man booth. Actually kind of looking forward to it.
Me too. Always enjoy chopping it up.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, obviously we can't get through the insider's report unless, do you have any insider's information you can share? Or?
Nope, that's why we normally have Rusty. Thanks.
Fair enough. Well, then we'll go ahead and avoid that section and move right over to the Warriors' focus. And the first thing I want to talk about is last night's Utah game. Great game, great result. In fact, I don't remember being that fired up about a regular season win in quite some time, especially for a team that is on its way towards setting a regular season win record. But that's not what I wanted to focus on. Here's what I did. I thought last night's win really illustrates the difference between the way that the San Antonio Spurs and the Golden State Warriors are approaching the end of the season. Last night, the Warriors played their big three a remarkable amount of minutes. In an overtime game, Steph played 42 minutes. Draymond put up 43 minutes. Klay gave us 39, and obviously they won, but that is a lot of time from the big three. On the other side of the ball, what we've learned is that from Tony Parker, who apparently has a French radio show, I am confused by that, but in his French radio show...
Well, he's French.
Yeah, but he's not living in France. When does he have time to do a French radio show?
It's the internet, man.
Yeah, you don't have any insider's information on that or anything else. I don't want to know about your take on his French show. Here's what I want your take on. This is his quote, presumably in French. Quote, I think no one will play versus the Warriors. To Pop, obviously talking about Greg Popovich, the most important thing is that the players are rested for the playoffs. As for first place, he does not care. For us, the end of the regular season is a good time to rest. That's why we play hard throughout the season, trying to win the most games possible to find ourselves in this situation of luxury. We are sure we will be the second seed, and we can all rest before the playoffs. Here's kind of the important thing. I think the most important thing for him, talking about Popovich, is to win the NBA title. The record at home, or games against Golden State, is not what interests him. Did you see this quote?
Well, I don't listen to French radio, so no, I didn't.
See the quote, not hear it. Had you even heard about it before right now?
I'm glad you brought it up. And I think that he's completely right. I think how many championships does he have? And how many does Curry have?
Sure. So then answer it directly. Should the Warriors be sitting people? Was it a mistake last night to play Steph, Klay, and Draymond all in excess of 39 minutes?
They need to start resting people, especially Steph. He looks tired to me. He looked exhausted. Did you see at halftime of the Wizards game when they interviewed him? He was out of breath, and that interview happened like 5 minutes after the quarter was over. And he even had to say, like, oh, I'm so out of breath. Like, come on, man.
I'm not sure whether or not a player being out of breath during post-game interviews constitutes reasons to actually have him rest. I did watch him last night in the playoffs when he came in, in the overtime last night when he came in and scored 6 unanswered points and kind of closed out the game. He didn't look too tired then. That doesn't affect your rationale?
No, because over the course of these past couple of games, he has absolutely been tired. Do you really not think they need to arrest him?
Well, here's what I think. I have gone on record multiple times saying that they should not sacrifice a chance at postseason success for regular season history. So I understand where you're coming from. But the big difference between the Spurs and the Warriors is age, right? I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but I think the average age between Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker is about, what, 87, 88, something like that.
It's up there for sure.
It's up there. Whereas Steph, Dre, and Clay all are, what, 26, 27? I mean, there's a huge difference between what these guys are capable of physically, no?
When you get to this point in the season, though, when it's not as much maybe what you could do not getting any rest, but maybe what you could do once you do get rest. And they have the luxury to do it, so why not do it? I think chasing the 73 wins is going to be their downfall and exactly why they don't win the championship.
I'll just to be devil's advocate, what I like, the upside of chasing those wins is that they are cementing their legacy. Here's what I mean. Let's say I came to you, I've been to the future somehow, I watched the playoffs, and the Warriors lost. They lost in the whatever, in the Western Conference Finals, they lost against San Antonio. So now we know the championship is not there. If, in fact, that is true, and we come back to now, would you do everything that was possible to make sure that they got the 73 wins?
The season, I mean...
Ooh, I slowed you down. Yeah. That was a good question, boy.
I think that if they get the 73 wins, regardless of if they get the 73 wins, it has been a remarkably fun season. It's going to be one that I remember forever. So whether or not they do it is not really kind of much... something I care too much about. I much rather care about either winning the championship or just the fact that I've really enjoyed this season.
I feel like I kind of knocked you off whatever rational line of thought that you had before. I mean, I know that you put together a lot of words there. I'm not sure what you actually said. I will ultimately back it up with this. If left in a vacuum, if all I was given was the information of they can sit them and that will help their chance to win a championship, then of course I'll do that. We don't know that. We don't have access to the trainer. We don't have access to the coaching staff. I will trust them. So if Kerr and the intense woman with the pop collar thinks that they can play these guys, not rest them, and still have the equal shot at winning a ship, then let's do it. You know, if we don't know that, if there is some chance of them running down, they should be resting them. But if nothing else, this front office, this medical staff, these players deserve our trust on this.
But don't you think people play better when rested? That's a fact, right?
No, because right now they're about to set the record for regular season wins, and they have not been rested. So it's definitely not a fact.
When you have played, do you play better when rested or when tired?
Well, if I was one of the people, then they should be completely screwed. They're absolutely not making it to the championship anyways. I would need rest, but that doesn't apply to what these guys are doing.
Why not? Everyone plays better when you're rested.
Apparently not. They are winning games.
Why do the Spurs rest players then?
Because they're all 85 years old. We just covered that.
They've been resting players for years.
They've been 80 for years. That's exactly right. I guarantee you that when Tim Duncan was Steph Curry's age, they did not rest him.
Well, look, I will tell you this.
Give me that. Am I right about that?
No, I think you're wrong. No, I definitely think you're wrong. Because the end of a regular season, I don't care if you're 21, 27, 30, rest is helpful at the end of a long season. Now, I will say, in doing my research for the show, I went back, I looked at Jordan's minutes in the month of March during that 95-96 season, and he was putting up a ton of minutes. They lost to New York in a blowout. And he still played 43 minutes in a 20-point loss.
Does that make you like him anymore, by the way?
No, I mean, let me get into the fact. No one's brought this up about that 95-96 team. That happened in an expansion year. That happened in a watered-down version of the NBA, just like all six of Jordan's championships happened in the 90s when there were two times there was expansion teams that came into the league. The league was terrible in the 90s. Jordan couldn't do anything in the 80s. And so...
Your Jordan hate is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever listened to. I re-listened to the episode we recorded last week, and you explain that, look, I cannot stand Jordan because of what he did to the Pistons teams. And then Rusty gives you what I thought was a very solid example of, like, look, I hated Kobe as well for a while, and then I realized how good he was going forward here in his last season, so I respect him now. And you said, yeah, I agree with you on Kobe, at least, but I don't think that Jordan has done anything for society, I think is the way you put it. Meanwhile, Kobe was an accused rapist. What the hell are you talking about, the things he's done for society? The only thing Kobe has done recently is remind us how good he was at basketball, something Jordan did every single day of his life. The idea that you have not flipped over on Jordan yet is preposterous.
I think Kobe Bryant has done heads and shoulders above Jordan in the amount of community service and the amount of charities that he's done.
What the hell are you talking about right now? You have done zero research into this at all. I don't want to get us sidetracked to another F Jordan thing. Instead, let me drag us back to the Utah game because I want to admit that I was wrong. We argued 3 or 4 episodes back about whether or not Clay could be the centerpiece of a championship team. I don't think he can be. Do you actually? We didn't get your take on that when Rusty and I were going back and forth.
I still want to trade Clay for Danny Green, so absolutely no way.
Okay, there you go. But the rationale I gave was that Clay didn't have the mentality or personality to be the go-to guy. I think I'm wrong. After watching last night's Utah game, specifically, he misses that three at the end of regulation to send it to overtime. Livingston gets that huge rebound, goes right back to Clay, and he does not hesitate at all. Fires it right back up. I can tell you right now, based on my career, I would have been way too much of a pussy to shoot that. I would have been super worried that I missed the previous one, that he didn't care, that he was able to fire it up without thinking about it. I think underlines that he does have the balls necessary, if not the talent.
Well, that's the mentality of Big Smokey.
You know that I will giggle at that every single time somebody ever uses that reference. It just doesn't matter at all.
It's phenomenal. Man, what last night's game showed me more than anything is not just Clay being clutch and Steph is proven to be clutch, but I think almost every guy on the starting five and then combine, you know, Iguodala in there and even Livingston, like everyone on this team seems to be clutch. It doesn't matter like who the player is. I feel like they've all been in big time situations and they've all made big time plays, and I think that's why you've seen them win in so many close games this season.
They have huge depth too, man. We saw big minutes from Ian Clark last night, I guess because he used to play in Utah. We saw Sean Livingston have a bunch of really huge plays. They have won consistently despite not having Iguodala, the finals MVP, and Festus Ezeli, the main guy off the bench who can provide any kind of front court defense. You know, and we kind of forget that. We don't even talk about it because they've been so successful. So obviously, the big three are phenomenally good at basketball and probably better than any other big three out there. The starting five is as talented as they come. But what makes this team the elite level that they are isn't limited to those first five. They go deep, man.
Yeah, and not only deep, but they're super experienced in, I think, high-intensity situations. And they don't shy away from the moment in ways that I think a lot of guys wouldn't take in that second three that Clay took.
Quick test to prove that I think you were full of shit earlier. Can you give me one thing that Kobe has done for the community since over the last 3 years? Any charities that he's done? Any events that he's thrown?
Yeah, I've seen him read Dr. Seuss books to children.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, yes, I have.
An NBA, 100%
NBA cares. NBA cares commercials.
Filthy.
I think he's even wearing the Dr. Seuss hat.
It really hurts me that you can lie to me, just looking me right in the eye like that, man. I mean, I am the shady person on this show, not you. What's going? You're pulling a StubHub here.
He put out Kobe's Muse.
Do you like my inadvertent shot at StubHub too? I am nothing if not a company man. let's move over. The Warriors, as of right now, have 4 possible opponents that they might play in the first round. Portland, Dallas, Houston, and Utah. They're all separated by about a game to a game and a half. If you could hand pick somebody of those 4, who would you want to play?
I'd take Dallas, no question. Definitely the weakest team out there.
I go Houston. Let me explain my rationale, and then I'll flip it back to you. More so than any of the other teams who used to be rivals who are now our bitch, for lack of a better way to phrase it, Houston seems to really occupy that spot. We have dominated them. They know that we've dominated them. They have all this seemingly internal conflict. It looks like Howard doesn't like playing with Harden. Harden doesn't like playing with Howard. They fired their coach to start off the year. So a team that used to really scare me now seems like they know that they would lose, so they would lay down for us.
Harden in the playoffs, though, is just not something I want to deal with. He might win 1, potentially 2 games
on his own.
Plus, you're dealing with the fact that he just gets so many calls. I guess from a fan's perspective, I really can't stand watching Harden because
and
of
Patrick
all the
Beverly, fun. Right? I mean, like he's can't stop Steph, but he's kind of one of those dudes who I'm not real happy to see matched up against him. I'm not going to talk myself out of my position, but I see where you're coming from.
But look at Dallas, though. A lot of their record is based on the fact that they had Chandler Parsons, and now
God,
Chandler Parsons, you drafted him on your fantasy team.
I hate that guy so much.
You liked him to a certain degree, but And no Chandler Parsons. I think they're pretty banged up overall. And with, like, Darren Williams, number one, has been awful. Number two, he's hurt as well. So what, you're going to worry about J.J. Barea?
No, I feel that. Unless that game was played in the mid-90s where Dirk was at his peak and Darren Williams was still like an elite point guard. Remember when we used to talk about like him versus Chris Paul and like who was going to be really good? Unless they are able to find a time machine or like gummy berry juice for the other side, I guess you're right. I wouldn't be too worried about Dallas either. All right, if you had to handpick an opponent to avoid, who would it be?
Utah and Portland, I mean, that's a toss-up to me. I don't really feel comfortable playing either of them.
I don't want to see Utah at all. Gobert scares me. He's the kind of young, talented big that gives us problems, and we saw that last night, especially because of his weirdo freakish size. And just to differentiate between he and Howard, he's got way more bounce left, and he seemingly has kind of a chip on his shoulder against the Warriors, yeah? Two, that Utah crowd doesn't play games. Yeah. Unlike any other crowd in the NBA who kind of secretly roots for Steph. You know, like Steph gets it going and they kind of get fired up. When Utah has locked in, they do not do any of that BS, man. Like that.
Steph had an air ball last night. They were taunting him for it.
No, they get all fired up. It's because they're an old school crowd who has tasted success on their own, and they're not playing that stupid ass game of rooting for another team. Finally, Snyder. I mean, I think we've got a better coaching staff. I obviously really respect what the hell the Warriors are doing. I still think they win probably in five games, but I think Snyder is a good coach and the type of guy to find some, you know, matchup problems and really exploit them.
And the type of guy who's, I think, willing to go out on a ledge. I mean, I don't know if you've watched The Wire. It's like Bunny Coleman. He'll set up Hamsterdam and do something totally unexpected, and it could completely throw the Warriors off. He'll start, like, you know, his Scrubs or something.
I am willing to bet my life that no other show on earth has ever compared Bunny Colvin and Quinn Snyder in a sentence, and I think you pulled it off. I'm just so happy that we're talking about The Wire that I'm just nodding and smiling, even if you might be wrong. I mean, who knows?
And then obviously Portland, Dame Lillard, kind of one of those guys who could take over a game, and Portland has shown you that they can take down a serious opponent. I think it wasn't last year, but the year before they beat a higher seed than them. I forget who it was, but you know, they've shown that they can take somebody down in the playoffs.
Well, they also beat us during the regular season, but so did Dallas, for what it's worth. And I think that was without Chandler Parsons, wasn't it?
Well, it was, more importantly, it was without Steph Curry.
Don't you worry about who wasn't playing for the Warriors. Just focus on my Chandler Parsons argument, man. I guess, who do you think it's going to be?
I think it'll be Houston. I think Utah's playing really well right now, so I think they keep above Houston. I think Dallas is playing terribly, and I think Portland plays us on Sunday, so they're going to face another loss.
Yeah, there you go. There was some irony with the Warriors beating Utah last night and making it even more likely that we have to play them. I guess we'll find out, and we'll follow up with Rusty when he doesn't screw us next week to see what he feels on this topic. Warriors played Washington since the last time we spoke. Thankfully, you're not wearing any Washington gear today, which I'm really happy about. You know what? I've been meaning to bring this up to you for a while, man. The listeners may remember that you were sporting a Washington Wizards hat when we recorded, I don't know, 3-4 episodes back. What they don't know is that was Rusty's hat, which I feel to be a really strange decision. I can't imagine any time when I would wear another dude's hat or would want another dude to be wearing my hat. What the hell was going on?
I guess you don't rep your team as hard as I do.
Ooh, factually incorrect.
You do not rep your team. I was repping the Wizards.
You don't even rep the team enough to have your own hat. You had to get it from another dude.
No, I do know.
That did happen.
I can wear a Wizards hat. I'll wear another Wizards hat. I don't care what Wizards hat I wear. I'm going to rep the team. If there's gear around, I'm going to rep it.
Are those pants you're wearing, Rushies? Anything else? Like, you wear other random clothing from him? Socks or something?
Am I wearing pants?
Yes, thank God you are, because we would not be able to record this. Well, I don't want to get sidetracked on the fact that you are Rusty's prison bitch. Instead,
too late.
Instead, let's talk about this. I get really excited for the Wizards matchups because I don't remember which of the two, if it was Bradley Beal or John Wall, but one of them announced that they are the best backcourt in the NBA. Obviously, a shot against the Splash Brothers. Now every time they play, I get fired up. You know, it's kind of a chance for the Warriors to show that the Wizards were wrong. Are you on the opposite side of that? I mean, when you watch them, do you kind of hope that... Do they have a name? Splash Brothers versus the Nobodies?
The best backcourt.
Nobodies. Do you get involved in it? I mean, when you watch, do you care?
I mean, that's, of course, that's the whole reason you watch. I don't watch that game to see, like, Gortat versus Bogut. I watch it to see the great guard play.
How many rounds do you think you could last in a fight against Gortat?
I would pass out as soon as they rung the opening bell.
I am so afraid of him. I don't know why. There's something about the shape of his head that really confuses me. While I'm talking about shapes of heads, and then I'll get back to something maybe a little bit more germane, Bradley Beal has a strangely shaped head. It gets a little narrow up top, and what really underlined that and showed that to me was the fact that he decided to wear a headband, and it really accentuated it. And it reminded me of a story. A friend of mine, Kev, really longtime friend, one of my closest guys, unfortunately started prematurely losing his hair. And he told me a story the other day that he also plays basketball and he wore a headband. And a guy comes up to him and says, look, that headband really accentuates the fact that you're going bald because I can see how far back your headband is. Now, that guy was a dick to tell Kev that, but Kev takes off the headband and avoids the embarrassing look. Bradley Beal needs that guy in his life. Someone needed to come and tell him, like, look, that headband is making the top of your head look really skinny. It's a mistake.
I thought we'd been through that with LeBron and his headband and that ordeal. The headband's just not a good look in the NBA or anywhere.
Maybe you can borrow Rushy's hat. I mean, would you be okay with that if he used it? Or
I mean, as long as his headband had a Wizards logo on it, I appreciate him supporting his squad. But I think more than anything, Bradley Beal's chin is what makes his face weird. It's
all right.
Kind of comes very narrow. But
I was really worried about your participation in this subject, and I didn't think you'd be able to add a bullet point to why he was a strange looker. So good for you, Scotty.
Thanks, but still, he plays terrible at Oracle. Like both of them, Wall and Beal, just are terrible at Oracle.
I completely agree with you. I have a Warriors hat here. Do you want to wear it?
I'm going to keep supporting the Wizards in this as long as we're on this topic of conversation.
Let's flip over to kind of a random thing that came out today, and it was a somewhat complicated but remarkably well pulled off prank from Iguodala to Festus Ezeli, your boy.
Yeah, man, they got him good. If you haven't watched a video of this, go search out there. It's part of something Lyft is doing for April Fool's Day.
Yeah, well, we're going to play you a quick segment of it here, but it requires a little bit of setup since you're not going to be able to see it. I guess the idea is that they have Festus getting picked up by a Lyft car. The driver is in on it, and the driver is also in communication with Iguodala, who is following the Lyft car in kind of a trail car and telling the driver what to do. Various teammates are also involved, and the idea is that they're convincing Festus that he got cut. So,
and Murph and Mac were involved.
Exactly right.
Too.
So as you will hear, Festus gets in the car, the driver puts on the radio, it's a Murph and Mac segment suggesting he got cut. Then Festus starts getting a ton of text messages from teammates thanking him for what he's done for the team. And then you'll hear what happens from there. Here's the take.
Do you listen to these guys?
Turn right
Who's
now.
Up?
Mac, are you ready?
Murph and Mac show.
Are you ready for the news?
Not really. I'm actually not ready. I'm going to brace myself again, but proceed. Go ahead.
Two sources close to the Warriors say that backup center Festus Ezeli will be released from his contract before the playoff run. That's it. Well, no more Festus.
I don't even know how to react to that other than to kind of go through them one by one. First of all, this season has been so magical.
Check your phone. Check your phone. Check your phone.
Now, so the guys are texting him now.
Huh?
The guys are texting him.
It's James McAdoo, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Anderson Varejao, Ian Clark, Maurice Spache, Sean Livingston, Brandon Rush.
He doesn't know what to think.
Nick Urin, Coach Luke Walton, Andrew Bogut, Klay Thompson.
Hey, you in the car?
Hey, what?
Talking about you got cut from the team. I'm going to try to get to the bottom of this. It's crazy.
Say, this is so awkward to be your driver right now.
Yeah, I feel kind of awkward right now.
That's his look. That's his Festus look.
And my teammates is texting me saying, pleasure working with you. What does that mean? It's like I'm beginning a job over here with Lyft.
All right, you know Festus personally. Do you think he fell for it? I mean, judging by what you saw and what you heard, did he go all in?
I think that he reacted a lot like I may have reacted, which was just complete and utter shock. Like, he stares out the window, kind of takes a deep breath. He doesn't get upset or start cursing or anything like that. He just is just trying to make sense of what just happened in his life.
I can say, I'll keep it personal. I would be like one of the worst people to pull a prank on. I'd be hell of angry. I'd ruin it. I'd be all pissy afterwards. You know, like I wouldn't laugh. It'd make the whole thing awkward. I can see you being equally as bad, but I'll leave that up to you. What do
but
you think?
See, if it's being filmed and you know how many people are going to watch it, I think that you end up reacting a different way. Like, I don't know if you've ever gotten into any type of like bike accident or like in public or even just tripped in public. You could have broken your arm, but you pop up like everything's fine. No, I'm good. Then you get back to some safe place and you're like, oh my gosh,
no, I like
my
that.
Leg is actually like sticking out.
So that happens and the prank happens. You look into the camera and you give like a big smiley face, like maybe try to do something that suggests you knew, you know, the whole time and you're just playing along with it. In this one, funny or too far?
Man, this was pretty cold-blooded, man. It's like, because they took it to such a degree. I mean, they had so many people in on it. Murph and Mac.
You did a good job.
Great job. Because it was so real. They moved on pretty quick. Like, they didn't just, like, kind of say anything too outrageous during it. And then you had all these players texting you. My favorite is Clay's pleasure working with you.
Oh, like, so solid. And, I mean, you can tell Festus both took it okay and did fall for it, because I think the last thing we hear from him is talking to the Uber driver and saying something along the lines of, I think I'm going to have to start working for Lyft now. What, you know, like a little self-depreciating, and it's got to be like, you're in there, you're Festus, now you're sharing this terrible moment with this stranger Lyft driver who is, I mean, you know, ostensibly listening to it at the exact same time you are, so you have to say something, right?
Yeah, I mean, and the driver's talking about how this is getting awkward. I thought that was a great line to use. What about Festus comparing, this part's not on the clip you heard, but earlier in the clip, if you watch the whole thing, he says, yeah, I've lived in Nigeria, just like, it's like Oakland.
Oh, yeah. No, he says, the guy asks him, where are you from? And he says, like, or where have you lived or something? And he goes, like, Oklahoma or something. And then he says, Nigeria. And there's a slow pause. And then he says, yeah, Nigeria, the country. Like, what other Nigeria were you talking about? Like, what did we think you meant? Like, Nigeria, the neighborhood?
Right. No. And I also got to say, at the end of the video, Iguodala gets out and, like, chases down the car with a bunch of balloons.
And a cake.
Iguodala looked pretty healthy there. I don't know what was up with that ankle.
What are you accusing him of faking the injury? What's your insinuation?
No, this is my insider's knowledge, my doctor knowledge.
Where was this 25 minutes ago when I asked you if you had any insider's knowledge?
His ankle looks good. I think that he's going to be back soon.
I think that Scott definitely doesn't know what he's talking about and didn't think that he was moving that fast at all. All right. Last topic, show notes, and it's a little bit on the unsensitive side. If you have a strange stomach or don't find poop stories to be that entertaining, you may want to tune out now, because what I want to do is explain a phrase that we used 3 episodes back, a wiping error. Do you remember this phrase?
Only because a lot of people have been asking us about a wiping error.
So just to add context for those who may not have asked about it, we learned a while back that the reason why neither Harrison Barnes or Andrew Bogut are actually present during the national anthem through most of the time is because they're in the back taking their pregame dump. And my response, amongst other things, was that would make me so nervous to have to take a dump within a settled time frame when I've got 19,596 people waiting for me to come out. And what if a wiping error happens? And you guys asked me then what it was, and we've had a lot of people since. Let me go ahead and describe it. Again, if you have a sensitive stomach, you may not want to listen. Wiping error is when you're using toilet paper. The toilet paper rips, and you get a little poop right there on the hand. Man, that ever happened to you?
This is an all-time huddle low right here.
Or all-time huddle high. I mean, I'm just telling you what's happened to me. I also don't believe that that's never happened to you.
You got
to
get the 2-ply, 3-ply, none of that single sheet
stuff. I'm not going to let you go. Are you trying to avoid my question? I want to know if that's ever happened to you. Have you ever had a wiping error, per my definition?
Look, I'm not going to go into the details on what the history of my
That's a yes.
wiping is.
That is definitely a yes.
I think we can all say that we've been in those situations where you've had the single ply, just not going to do the job.
Are you getting bashful here? Well, anyways, that's what I meant by wiping error, and I can't imagine the nightmare that would occupy if it happened to me while I had a national TV audience and a stadium full of people waiting for me to play basketball. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of cleanup associated with the old wiping error, man.
you just hope that they're doing that cleanup because you're going to be coming out doing high fives. You're touching the basketball. There's a lot of physical contact that these players that happens after their pregame dump. So
the other thing that deserved a little bit of follow up, and it was your take that I should have jumped on then, but what you pointed out was if you're Harrison Barnes, you're going to be kind of pissy, right? Because Harrison started up that tradition first. Bogut finds out about it, and then he starts pooping next to him. A couple of rules there, and this is me agreeing with you. One, if I'm dumping at work and you come in and see me dumping at work, leave immediately. Do not come into the stall next to me. I don't care if that means you have to poop your pants. I got there first. You need to find another bathroom because that is a totally unacceptable situation. Two, if I had to hand pick someone who I did not want to crap next to, Andrew Bogut is like top three. Like, he is a gigantic dude. Like, that's, I can't imagine the nightmare necessary. You're in there, you hear the door open, you're already kind of pissed off. Now you hear the store or the stall open, you're furious, and then you recognize it's Bogut sitting next to you. Nightmare. Just nightmare situation.
No, he's the guy who really, he doesn't care. He will just go to town right next to you, and all of a sudden, like, your whole routine screwed up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
But meanwhile, like, he's having, like, the greatest dump
he'll
of his life.
He'll talk to you in between. Maybe knock on the door. You know, hey, any wiping errors? Like, something like that. You know, like, I'm desperately pretending like he doesn't know it's me. Just that entire, I mean, great insider's knowledge, really a phenomenal story, but it begs so many more questions. I mean, we got to get Bogut or Barnes on the show just to kind of dig into the details. You know what I mean?
I would definitely. I mean, I went to the Dallas game. I got there early, saw Steph do his warm-up thing.
Went to the bathroom?
no, but then I was watching for it. I mean, they truly, Bogut and Barnes left during the national anthem. They were not there, and they came out right before the game started.
Did Barnes seem annoyed, or?
Who knows what Barnes thinks, man? That guy's impossible. He's like missing free throws right and left last night, and it didn't seem to matter to him.
Did you see any crap on either of their hands or no?
My HD...
Didn't actually pull through.
No, I need that 4K.
It's unfortunate. Well, huge fun, you guys. That's certainly true every week. Absolutely true this week. Please remember, if you want to reach out to us, if you have any questions you want us to ask, issues you want us to raise, we're expecting Rusty back next week. You can hit us at warriorshuddle@gmail.com. Our Twitter account is @warriorshuddle. Our website is warriorsworld.net. As you know, we're a huge fan of SeatGeek. Download their app and punch in promo code GSW. It'll help you. It'll also really help us. And it's been a while since I asked. I can't tell you how much it means. If you wouldn't mind hopping on iTunes, dropping a 5-star review, even if you hate the show, we'd really appreciate it. Thanks, you guys. Go Warriors. Hopefully, we'll see you next week.
The number one seed, when they're on the floor, you can expect a lead. And Dubs, the base sweetest reward, we can win this thing if Big Bogut crashes boards. Damn Dubs, no. Thompson and Curry knock down that threes. Dem Dubs, no. Draymond and Harrison play that D. Dem Dubs, no.
Good, good.